everyone, and welcome to episode 138 of Brain Delay Radio, a baseball podcast. We got a lot to talk about today, so let's just get right into it. My name is Naim. I am joined once again by Pat. Pat, how's it going?
What's up? Going pretty good. It's a good day today. AEW All-In happened at Wembley Stadium today. Probably the biggest wrestling event in a long time, so like those are like wrestling fans will know how big this was.
Yeah,
and MJF and Adam Cole put on a stellar main event. It was incredible.
I'll tell you, American sports. You said it was at Wembley, right?
It was in Wembley. Yep, in the UK.
Yeah, American sports like going into the UK always do well. I guess because it's such a novelty.
Yeah.
But they're always
82,000.
Yeah, they're always huge.
Yep.
So that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked a bunch about baseball doing the same thing to bring it back the Cardinals and Cubs played there earlier this year, and like the London series is a regular fixture. So it's cool to see wrestling do the same thing, growing that sport and you know, getting into those areas where and especially like for expats too, right? I was watching a TikTok the other day about like what it's like to be an NFL fan in England. Like, can you imagine, you know,
no,
like
goodness,
the kind of heat you get for right. like you or baseball too, right? Like I like baseball. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So in Pakistan, you might be called a burger. Because like, you know, that's the, like, yeah, it's the sort of derogatory term for those kinds of people. So,
right.
Well, let's talk about baseball, and we're going to start with the biggest and worst story of the week. Shohei Ohtani has a tear in his UCL. They're shutting him down as a pitcher for the remainder of the season, but he will continue to hit and has continued to hit. It's unclear if Tommy John surgery will be needed. The Angels reportedly did not do any imaging when Ohtani had soreness in his arm. The Angels say that he and his agent refused the option, so sort of putting blame on Ohtani's side. First of all, this sucks.
Yeah, this is like the worst. If you were to ask me like what the worst outcome of Ohtani staying with the Angels was, this is it.
Yeah.
100% this.
Yeah. And like, you know, with something like this, right? Like is it the fault of the Angels of the last 2 months, right? Like if Ohtani had been traded in July or in June or in April, like he probably still would have torn his UCL, you know, like I don't think that is as big of a factor. I think it goes back to him signing with the Angels, you know, 8 years ago or 6 years. How long was it? 5 years? How long has Ohtani been in the league now?
27, 18, 17.
Like he's had all the like injuries stuff too, right? Which is like, which sucks. But yeah, if 2018 was his first year, this was his sixth season.
Yeah,
of course that makes sense.
He's in a free agency.
That's he's in a free agency. I think it's more a consequence of him joining the Angels 6 years ago than him staying with the Angels 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's bad for baseball, right? Like,
oh, it's
you know, well, we've talked about it. I mean, we've talked about Ohtani at length many, many times, but like Ohtani is good for the sport. People are excited by him as a player. The fact that this is his second Tommy John surgery, which is not a good, I mean, it's, again, if he gets Tommy John, it'll be his second Tommy John, which is not a good sign. People are already talking about the idea of if he ever pitches again, maybe he's going to have to be a closer or a reliever and just be, you know, a DH / relief pitcher. I don't know. We you know, Pat, you and I after the show last week talked at length about how many teams need Ohtani, like how many teams, like, you know, they're going into this offseason, and if they don't sign Ohtani, it's almost a failed offseason. I brought it up in context of the Cardinals when we were talking about it last week. Again, sorry that we didn't record it, guys, because I think it was actually a pretty good conversation.
Yeah, it was a really good conversation. You guys missed out on.
it's a shame we didn't record any of it. But it's also completely obsolete now because, like, I was saying, the Cardinals need to sign a big ticket starting pitcher, and there's basically two guys on the market, and it's Ohtani and Nola, and Nola has had such a not great season this year that like it's kind of just Ohtani. And if the Cardinals don't sign Ohtani, then that, like, you know, then maybe that is John Mozeliak like failing in the offseason, and it's time for him to be fired. It might be time for him to be fired anyway. That's a whole other conversation. But if Ohtani's not a pitcher, at least for another, I mean, for at least another year and a half, right? Like,
yeah.
If he gets Tommy John surgery right now, which he's not going to, it's not going to be until the end of the season. So he's going to get Tommy John at the end of the season. Maybe he'll be back as a pitcher in time for spring training of 2025, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it completely changes the calculus of so many off seasons. And like, I think I said to somebody, I think I was saying to our friend John yesterday, like, I think Ohtani getting Tommy John surgery or Ohtani tearing his UCL saved John Mozeliak's job. maybe saved Brian Cashman's job. Like,
I think it saved a lot of GMs' jobs.
A number of GMs who were going into this offseason thinking, I have to sign Ohtani or I'm screwed. And now suddenly he's still an MVP elite hitter, right?
Right.
He's still a guy who is going to get a big contract. And we'll talk about his free agency in a second. But if he's not also, you know, a top five Cy Young pitcher, or even not a top five Cy Young pitcher, right? Like a middle of the rotation pitcher, yeah, which he's been in the past, right? Then he's not the guy who is saving your entire team.
Right.
You know, like in 2021, he was a good pitcher, not like an elite pitcher. Mm-hmm. As he was, you know, this year and last year, where he was like an elite pitcher.
Yeah.
But even like the guy he was in 2018 or 2021, 2019, he didn't pitch because of Tommy John.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
he was looking good when he came in.
Right. And it was good. Like, it was a 3.31 ERA. It was only 51 innings. I think he had the Tommy John.
Yeah.
In 2018 and then came back quickly from it or something like that. I don't remember exactly what the deal was, but they shut him down as a pitcher early there too. But like, he was like, okay, he's starting to look good. And then 2020, he pitched like a couple of games, you know, he pitched two innings.
Two starts in 2020.
Yeah, two
and
starts, but
shut
it was
him down.
Two starts, but it was 1 2/3 innings across those two starts. Yeah. So, and he gave up 7 runs. So like, that doesn't really count. And 2021, it was a 3.18 ERA, 130 innings, like pretty solid, yep, right? That's a good pitcher.
Yeah,
you'd be happy to have that pitcher in your rotation. But 2022 was a 2.33 ERA and 166 innings. Like, he finished fourth in Cy Young voting. Mm-hmm. And this year he did also, I mean, probably because of the elbow, you know, had a little bit more struggle than he had, you know, in the second, like after the, like in the second half of the season, he had been a little worse than he was in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And so he's a 3.14 ERA, but like, you know, leads the league in hits per nine, lowest hits per nine, still 11 strikeouts per nine. Like, he still was having a really good pitching season, but now if he's not a pitcher, like
he's,
I said, that's, he's, I mean, he's a DH and a great DH, you know?
Here's what teams are going to essentially have to think about, you know, going into free agency with him now. If you sign him, you're now responsible for his Tommy John rehab.
Yeah.
And all that. That right. is something teams will have to consider. He won't be able to play the outfield if you sign him. He's going to be DH only. And the thing with pitchers, when they get that second Tommy John surgery, sometimes they don't come back. Or sometimes they only come back as a reliever.
Right.
Now, having Ohtani as an option to be a closer is a pretty good option. You know, we saw it in the WBC, but
and for what it's worth, like, these are like a sort of, there are these elite guys who have done it, right? There's Jake DeGrom has done it. Shane McClanahan just got a second Tommy John, so he hasn't come back from it yet. But
to DeGrom's credit, he hasn't been able to stay healthy either.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing.
Walker Buehler is rehabbing his second Tommy John right now. Yeah, it's, you know,
it's rough.
Eovaldi had two Tommy Johns, and Eovaldi is a capable major league pitcher.
He's capable, but he also always has that yearly IL stint.
Jameson Taillon. I mean, there's been guys have had it and have come back, but like Ohtani, who knows?
You know, very like it's hard to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And not have an IL stint after you have that second one. And that's what teams are going to have to consider here. And, you know, he's a great hitter. top five in baseball, I'd say, but you can't field him in the outfield while he's recovering from this.
Right.
You're stuck with him at DH, and you're missing that, you know. We were all talking, like, Ohtani could get 500 mil, 600 mil on the market.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets that anymore.
So let's talk about it. You know, it's interesting, right? Because he's still, you still have that capability in him. That guy is still there.
It's there.
And he is still an elite hitter, right? Like,
right.
You know, if his floor is Aaron Judge, right? Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And his ceiling is Aaron Judge plus Garrett Cole, right?
Yes.
So, like, or maybe, you know, again, we might be exaggerating about his pitching prowess. It might not be quite Aaron Judge plus Garrett Cole, but, like, still, you know, Aaron Judge plus a good pitcher, you know? Like, so I don't think 500 million is still off the table, right? What did Judge get? 10, 400 or something like that? Or
it's like 10, 380 or something like that.
Like 8, 380.
It's a big contract.
It's 40 million a year from 23 to 31. So like 9, 380 or something like that. Or 9, 360.
Yeah.
I think it's 9, 360. Yeah. So if you take Judge as like you expect Ohtani to hit like Judge, which you should and do, right? That's what he has proven that he can do even when not healthy, you know?
Right.
Even with a screwed up UCL, he still has 44 home runs this year, 8 triples, you know, 100 runs. He's leading both leagues in OPS and in home runs. And he's leading the AL in walks as well. Like, he's still right now the best hitter in the American League, and, you know, over the last 3 years, a top five hitter in the American League.
Yeah.
So that guy without pitching gets, if you just look at the Judge contract, 9,360, right? And Judge is a couple years older, isn't he?
Yeah. He's 30, I think.
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on. I want to look exactly what Judge's age is, because Ohtani is 28 right now, or 29, right? He just turned 29 this year. So he's going into his age 29 season next year. And Aaron Judge is 30. This is his age 31 season. So Ohtani, for baseball purposes, is going into that free agency period 2 years younger.
Yes.
So 2 years younger. So if we assume that as a hitter, he is, Aaron Judge, which we can roughly assume he is, then the possibility that he is a good to elite pitcher is worth, I mean, maybe it's an incentive type deal. The way I would maybe structure it, and this is a little bit, maybe it's a little too cute for Major League Baseball. It might be the way I end up trying to structure it in the sim if I get him in the draft. Is that if he throws like 100 innings in 2025, right? Mm-hmm. I would call that successful recovery from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
And if he throws that many innings, then it unlocks an extra like 10 million a year, right? Like I said, it's like 10, 4, 50, 45 million a year, which is probably what he's worth as a hitter. And then it unlocks an extra X million a year if he throws 100 innings in that first season. Just he has to throw it once. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, because it's tough if you're like every single year he does it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Or maybe it's just you have an opt out early on, like, hey, after 3 years, he can opt out. And if he comes back as a pitcher, then great. Then he'll get another big, massive deal in, when he's 31. But yeah, it's hard. But like the big thing is that, you know, we know as a hitter, even with the torn UCL, and we've seen Albert Pujols has had a torn UCL for 10 years. Like Albert Pujols tore his UCL in like 2001 and was the best hitter of the next decade.
You know? Can tear the UCL and be fine.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. It's recovering. Right. And it's recovering from the Tommy John. It saps your power.
That's the thing, right? Harper had the Tommy John. Pujols never had Tommy John. Pujols tore his UCL and then moved to first base so he didn't have to throw the baseball anymore.
And Ohtani, when he had the Tommy John the first time, he had a hard time getting his power back.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so there is
that's
that.
That's the thing teams have to consider when they sign him. Hey,
but he did. I mean, he did get it back. You know, like it,
yeah, it'll come back.
He very clearly got it back. But yeah, it is. That is true.
Time.
Yeah, and Harper. I mean, Harper has it back too. You know, like
yeah, Harper's just now getting it back.
Yeah, but Harper. When did Harper get the Tommy John? Was that in 2022?
So he had it in December. He started playing in May. He did not start hitting for power until August.
That's not that bad of a timetable. For
it's not terrible, but it's something to
consider.
It's
not ideal. It's yeah, not
because there's that chance that it might just not come back at all. Especially,
I don't think we've seen
this is rare territory because I don't think we've ever seen a hitter have Tommy John surgery twice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, I don't know what it's going to, like, there's a lot of, we know who Shohei is now.
Right.
We don't know who he's going to be post-surgery if he has it.
If he has it, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's.
That's the scary part. We've never seen this with a hitter having Tommy John twice. Like Corey Seager had Tommy John, and he's, you know, still an incredible hitter.
Right.
He never had it twice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. And
Seager had a hard time getting his power back after having
Seager,
it too.
Seager definitely had a hard time getting. Yeah, coming. I mean, his was in 2018, right?
It was after his rookie season.
Yeah, his rookie season was 2016, and then he played a full season in 2017, and then 2018
That's
he
right.
only played
okay.
26 games.
Yeah,
but he had the power back in the short season in 2020, so only a year after the Tommy John, and he led the league in doubles in 2019. So just the home run power was. I mean, he had 19 home runs and 44 doubles, so like he still had power, but like not the elite power.
It's not the elite power that you expect,
right? But it was back a year later, because 2020 he had it, obviously the shortened season. But 2021 he also was, you know, was a 521 slugging percentage, and then 2022 he had a low slugging percentage, but that's because he had a low batting average. He still had 33 home runs.
Yeah.
So, but like you said, he's had one Tommy John, right?
Yeah, this is so, two.
This is unprecedented
territory. So like you can go into the off season and say, yeah, we want to bring in Otani, but now there's so many what ifs attached to this, and I still think he's going to get a bag.
Oh,
there's no denying that.
Is he going to stay in? Is he going to? How? Oh, if he stays with the Angels because of this, it will be so.
I think the Angels burned that bridge when they came out and blamed him.
Well, you know, maybe.
I think the Angels have burned that bridge. I think Otani's miserable there.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's a cultural thing too, right? Like it's hard to know how
I think it's a lot more likely that we see a team that we don't expect to sign Otani actually bring him in now.
I saw a TikTok predict that he's going to sign with the Brewers.
I'm predicting the Mariners now.
The Mariners are interesting, you know, they have obviously the Ichiro connection.
Think the Mariners are probably the best fit for him because of the Ichiro connection, but you know, they don't have like that kind of guy at DH that they can, you know, plug in like Otani there. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think
the Yankees are going to be scared off now.
Because
the injury concerns, the Dodgers probably as well. Cause the Dodgers don't like to go after guys that, you know, have this kind of injury concerns.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why they let Seager go.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be between the Giants and Mariners when it comes to the offseason for him. Because I think Giants are still going to be in the who cares, we need a big splash.
The Giants just balked on Correa a season ago because of injury concerns, though, too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. I don't like this. This is unprecedented, and it's a shame because. Like, just like the amount of content that was going to come from his free agency.
Is there a possibility that Shohei Ohtani signs a 1-year deal?
Absolutely not. No.
I don't think so either, but
because going into that next free agency, he still will have not pitched.
Yeah, that's true. But he will be like, hey, I'm going to pitch. Like, it'll be like a sort of, I'm not going to pitch this year. Like, I think it's an opt out. I think it's going to be like an opt out after 2 years.
If it's a 1 year deal, he probably stays with the Angels so he can get his Tommy John.
Yep.
And rehab with a team he's familiar with.
Right. Right. That's true. I don't think that's out of the question, but I think
Kevin Durant did before he hit free agency.
Yeah. I think the most likely thing is that there's going to be an opt out after year two or three, and just so he can like get a big deal and then prove he can pitch and then go out and get another big deal because he's proved that he can pitch and also hit 45 home runs again. But
yeah,
man, it's a shame.
It's a bummer. Cause we don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah,
once this surgery happens, and like what team is going to be willing to take him on, and you know, handle that rehab and handle that surgery, because
and who's the right team to do it is a question too. Like,
that's the other thing.
What's the team that can successfully do it? You know,
off the top of my head, probably the Mariners would be a good one to do it. The Dodgers, but I don't think the Dodgers are going to do it.
The Guardians are pretty good with pitcher recovery, right? The
Guardians aren't going to spend money.
No, they're not going to do it. I'm just saying, like, it could. Are they capable of doing it if they could pay for them, which they're not going to? Like the Rays with the other one, who also aren't going to spend the money, but like, unless they somehow get out of the other big contract that they might, somehow get out of.
Like, I think the Mariners would probably be a good choice.
That would be incredible if the Rays signed Shohei Ohtani.
Just to help him rehab, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the options here are he stays with the Angels on a 2-year deal to get that rehab done and then test the market at age 31, or he takes a long-term deal, and it's probably going to be, you know, the Mariners. I mean, would the Cardinals go after him with these injury concerns?
I don't know. That's the thing, right? Like, he's still an elite hitter, and like, he's still that guy as a hitter coming back from that second Tommy John. Who knows if he gets that second Tommy John, which they still haven't said he's going to get.
Second Tommy John, I think free agency is normal.
But like, is it though? Right?
That's the thing.
Because he pitch again,
still happen. Right?
Like, we don't know. You know, is he going to take?
Willing to convert to full time DH / well, if he converts to outfield, he's got to get the surgery. But like DH / first base, well, whatever.
Maybe he doesn't have to get the surgery. We don't know how bad the tear is. We don't know the whole deal. Yeah. Like, can he just spend a year DHing and then come back and play outfield in a year? Like, maybe he can. He probably can't pitch again without the Tommy John, but also maybe he can. We're not experts.
I mean, Tanaka did it.
Yeah, like we haven't looked at the guy's medicals, and even if we did, we'd have no idea. You know, like, it's certainly possible that he could come back without getting Tommy John. We don't actually know.
Possible, but again, the concern is this is second time.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Actually, I think it's the third time. I think it's happened to him once before, but he was just able to rehab it on his own.
So, like, that's the thing, right? Could he just rehab this one on his own? It's within the realm of possibility. We don't know enough about medicine, literally. No, like,
I am not a doctor for a reason, because
I know doctors who probably, like, you know, like, you have to look at his medicals, who like his at his actual medicals, and then be an expert in this specific thing to know.
Yeah,
you know, and even then, like, there's still guesswork, you know, like, even
a lot.
Even at the level, like, if you are at the level of like Dr. James Andrews, who is, you know, like, one of the top three leading experts in this specific thing, in ulnar collateral ligament surgery, for baseball players, like, even he's not 100. Like, even he has to say, like, hey, this is my recommendation, but I can't be sure what it's going to do.
I don't think anyone's 100%, because we've seen pitchers.
But even with the first Tommy John,
we've never seen it happen to hit with a hitter.
Yeah, but like, even with the first Tommy John, you can't really know. So it's just like, it's such a, I don't know. We'll have to see and hope that you know, that everything happens well, because we just want to watch the guy do what,
like,
he does.
He's,
you know,
he's the best player I've ever seen, and like, this sucks.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on. Instead of talking about the Angels. Let's talk about the Angelos. John Angelos. You like that one? John Angelos said he will have to raise prices around the stadium if the Orioles want to retain homegrown stars. Bonkers.
That, what an idiot.
That he's not the owner, right? His dad is, but like he's like the president of whatever. Like he's the face of ownership. The Cardinals are the same thing. Bill DeWitt Jr. is the owner, but Bill DeWitt III is the president of the team and like is the face of the ownership group. So let's call it ownership because he's ownership. That ownership would come out and say this and say like, yeah, we're probably not going to keep all of these guys who are great for our team. I mean, owners crying poor. You know, we're seeing it obviously with the A's. And you know, we've seen it with many other teams. The A's and the O's are the two.
This
sort of
reminds
most...
me of when Dolan came out and said, yeah, enjoy Lindor while we have him.
Yeah. Yep. And then
like, your team
then
is
they
like
didn't.
The best team in the AL right now, and you want to come out and do this? This is the hill you want to die on? We got to raise the price of hot dogs so we can keep Adley Gunner and Jackson Holliday around for the bulk of their careers? Come on, dude. How much are you worth? You're worth a lot of money. You can extend these guys. Like, this is... I'm so sick of owners crying poor when they have the money to do this.
Yeah, like, exactly.
This is why we need a salary floor in baseball with a cap. Like, this is exactly why we need it. Keep your dudes. Like, spend money. You're an owner. Spend it.
And like it's God, what somebody in our Peter Angelos net worth, by the way, $2 billion or $3 billion, something like that.
Can totally give Adley and Gunner an extension. Like, just do what the Braves. I don't understand why every team doesn't do what the Braves do with extending their players.
That's the like, the market inefficiency,
I
right?
Is
like it's,
understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is like. Medium risk, high reward, you know, like I mean, the bonkers one is still Sean Murphy. You know, Sean Murphy was like a year out of free agency.
He was established
with money coming to him, and he signed for $15 million a year. Like that, I don't get
that
at all.
Wild. But like,
he might have been a couple years out of free agency, but you know what I mean? Like, with Acuna or Riley or Albies, like they signed pretty early, pretty quickly. But Murphy and Olson,
and
both
Strider got an extension too.
Strider as well, yeah. And like they were like that. Like I get it, right?
That
like
that whole
teams,
core is locked up.
Teams have been doing that for a while now. Of like trying to sign your young guy to an extension well before he goes into free agency to keep him around for a long time. And hey, if something bad happens, that sucks. But like, you know, if he turns out to be the guy we think he is, then that's great.
Yeah.
What baffles me is Sean Murphy and Matt Olson, who both got traded there. We're not like guys who were in the organization for a long time. Both came from the A's, both signed big extensions, long-term extensions, when both guys could have probably gotten more money in free agency. You know, like I just don't get how the Braves keep doing it.
I think Anthopoulos has a gun to their family's head or something
it's
like
nuts.
That.
It's got to be, right?
It's
so,
insane.
It's so
but,
crazy.
Like, why the Angelos can't do that with Adley? And, like you're about to start going to the playoffs every year with this core, and you're not willing to extend them or put
pieces around
them?
You think Adley wouldn't
them?
Take the Sean Murphy deal? You know?
Oh,
that's not
he
like...
100% would right now.
You know? Like, I think Gunnar Henderson wouldn't take the Ronald Acuna Jr. Nobody would take the Ozzie Albies deal. Let's throw that one out.
No,
that one's nuts.
Yeah, that one's gone.
Like, we can't... I still can't believe
that.
These
guys would take the Acuna extension. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Like, you're a young player. Take it. But you know, it just baffles me how this ownership is. Like, you have a team that's going to make the playoffs every year. All you have to do is put a little bit of money into it. And what do? You sign Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson.
Okay, now, hold on. Kyle Gibson is a perfectly fine fifth starter.
No, I have watched Kyle Gibson pitch. Don't get me started on Kyle Gibson.
He's no Jordan Lyles, you know?
he's certainly not Jordan Lyles, but...
Like Kyle Gibson leads the American League in wins, so, you know, who's...
I mean, that's the stat that defines everything.
Exactly.
Kyle Gibson's going to be starting game one of the ALDS.
He also leads the American League in game started. Like, he stays healthy, pitches, like... And it's funny, because I'm the guy who when people call Jordan Lyles an innings eater, I'm like... What are we talking about here? That dude throws a max of 180 innings. Like, that's not an innings eater. And Gibson has done 196 a couple times. I also wouldn't call him an innings eater. But, like, I can see the value in Kyle Gibson as, like, a guy who stays on the field and pitches every 5 days. Like, there is a value in that. But I agree with your larger point of, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, like, extend your dudes. Like... I want the Phillies to extend Bohm and Stott as soon as they can, and Marsh as well. Like, those are dudes that, like, young dudes that they've actually developed. And
every starter for the Orioles is under 30, except for Adam Frazier. You know, and the 29-year-old guys who are Ramon Urias and Ryan O'Hearn, you know, you don't really need to keep those guys anyway.
No, you don't need to, but
Rutschman, Matt Mullins. Hayes, Mullins, Santander, even you know, Gunner, like we said, like,
keep those guys. You gotta extend them.
Yeah.
Or at least extend the cornerstones of your franchise, which are Adley, Mullins, and Gunner. Those are your cornerstones. And then Jackson Holliday, when he comes up too, probably will be a cornerstone. Extend those guys. Keep your big four.
Yeah.
It's baffling. God, baseball needs a salary floor and a salary cap so bad.
I mean, it's just like, there's that too. You know, I'm sure, like, I get that. But, like,
it's not like... the owners to spend.
It's not like basketball is really, like, that much better about this kind of stuff, necessarily. Like, they still do this kind of stuff. It's just, like, I don't know.
But I feel like loyalty in basketball just doesn't exist. Like, it's rare.
That's part of the problem too. Like that's what I don't like about the NBA these days. Is the Kevin Durant of the world? You know, like when I was a kid, you know, like most elite players stuck with that team for a, you know, maybe they got traded once and then at the end of their career played for a couple of teams just to stick around the league, right? But like, you know, like Patrick Ewing. Right, like all Knicks, and then like Magic and Sonics at the very end, just like, okay, like I just want to stick around, right? But like, you know, you had your like Reggie Millers and Michael Jordans, and I guess Jordan also played for the Wizards, but you know what I mean? Kobe Bryant,
it was
like
the end of his career, like
Larry
Kobe,
Bird,
Laker for life,
yeah, you know,
Tim
like
Duncan
it's,
was a
Duncan,
spur for life,
yeah, yeah, you know, all three of those guys, Duncan, Ginobili, and
like,
Tony
this
Parker,
is the guy
who
that,
spent a
this
year
is
on the Hornets,
guy but, that knows nothing about basketball, but knows that these dudes spent their entire career with their teams, like Iverson, Sixer for life.
Iverson spent a couple years on the Nuggets, but you know, yes, for the most part,
it was the end of his career.
Well, Iverson spent like a few years on. He was like, yeah, he was a couple years on the Nuggets and then like Pistons and Grizzlies. But then he came back to the Sixers. Like he's identified with the Sixers. He's mostly a Sixer guy. But yes, like those are like, and you just like don't see that in basketball anymore. And I think that's also part of an ownership thing, right? So I think to bring it back to that, like those issues exist across leagues, and I think it is just like. I mean, what is the commissioner's job if not to excise guys like this? That's what I feel. You know, if your owner is coming in and like, you know, like I feel like Manfred's job is to stop Rob or John Fisher from moving the A's to Vegas because he pretends he doesn't have the money to do it and you know, make him sell, or you know, convince Angelos to sell because he's not going to spend his money on any of his players ever, because the last time they spent money
Manfred,
on a player was Chris
Manfred,
Davis.
That idiot would rather the A's move to Vegas and would rather threaten the Brewers with building a new stadium or having to relocate.
Yeah,
like Manfred has done nothing good for baseball.
Well, the pitch clock is good.
Debatable.
I'll give him credit for the clock. I like the clock. I think the clock is good for the sport. But that's the one thing. That's it. I think that's the only thing I'll give him
Everyone
credit for.
Everyone gets one.
Everyone gets one, you know, and like, and that's his one. But yeah, there's so much of this, just like, what is your job if not to prevent ownership from treating the fans and the sport like this, and make like they're putting a worse product on the field because in 3 years, Adley Rutschman is going to be playing for, you know, the Mariners or whatever. Like that's not. I mean, you know, I get the mayor. Actually, Adley Rutschman on the Mariners is good for baseball. Adley Rutschman on like the Yankees is not.
No,
like that's
not.
That's the thing. It's just like what are we doing? You know, like this is what we need to be preventing. And then like, you know, again back to the NBA for a moment. Like Silver, I think that's an issue too. Is like we want to be giving teams incentive to keep their players and players incentive to stay on their teams.
Right.
And the NBA has tried that, right? Like they have those weird like supermax contracts that you can only sign if you're with the team for this long and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But like they also have this weird sign and trade stuff that, you know, you can like, you know, that Paul George did, like, right, sign with the Thunder and then force a trade a year later to the Clippers. Like,
right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an old man here, but it feels to me like in all sports, it's better if players stay with their teams for a long time. I don't mind if like a young player gets traded early in his career for like for something, right? Or if late in his career he signs a couple of contracts with another team just to stick around. Like I don't mind those kinds of things, but I don't like it when, you know, you're trading a guy because he's got a year left on his deal and you don't think you're going to get value out of him again. Like,
because
you don't want to pay him. Right. Again, I get it when it's like a team like the Cardinals who like, you know, or like whatever, a team that's got to sell at the deadline because they're retooling for a future year, you know?
Right.
And again, like the Cardinals traded Flaherty, right. But they've obviously spent money on like Goldschmidt and Arenado and other guys. Right. So like, you know, maybe that's just where I'm coming from as a Cardinals fan, a team that like doesn't do this kind of thing, you know, the last guy they really like let walk was Pujols. And that was, that was a lot of money, you know, like at least especially for the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten my point across and I'm just continuing to talk.
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
Yeah.
we agree here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, Orioles ownership has not been in the news for anything good over the last couple of weeks. So
no, they have not. So eat crap, Angelos, all of you.
Oh yeah. So it was on the episode with Dylan and Chance where they talked about the Kevin Brown thing of him getting suspended for saying that the Orioles had not had a very good record the last couple seasons at Tropicana Field. And like Angelos in this interview was like, yeah, we're looking, he basically did the, I think you should leave. Like we're all looking for the guy who did this.
Right.
Where he's like, oh, it never should have happened. And we're trying to figure out how this happened in our organization, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on from one end of that the beltway to the other side. Since Xander Bogaerts said, "Come on, we're playing the Nationals," the Nats have gone 31-21 in that stretch. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on in DC, but. They've got the same record as the Padres right now.
The same record as the Padres. That's why, yeah, you put this in the rundown, and I was like, this is why I want to talk about this, because they have the same record as the Padres, who, yeah, both teams are 61-70 as of today. And actually, like, I don't know what the Padres' record is in the last 52 games or whatever, like the Nationals' record is there, but, like, it's
funny.
It's just, I mean, they spent so much money to be so bad.
Just like the Mets.
Just like the Mets. But at least the Mets won 100 games last year.
Fair, yeah.
You know, like at least the Mets, and the Mets fell apart right at the end, right? But like the Mets won 101 games last year. At least they did something at some point. Because also the Mets like spent all that money, and then most of the money they spent is off the books because they traded it to Texas, or at least a good chunk of that money they spent, right? Like the Mets still have the opportunity to take that money and spend it in a different way this offseason. The Padres are locked in to Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. And, you know, they're not locked into Juan Soto yet, but they want to be. Yu Darvish, which is
the Yu Darvish extension, man.
Yu Darvish extension, which I forgot about until we brought it up on the podcast a few weeks ago and was like, oh, right, that's insane. Like, what an astounding extension to sign him to his age 41 season. And, like, you know, if anybody's going to be, I think I said this last time it came up, if anybody's going to be valuable through his age 41 season, it's Yu Darvish. But wow.
Yeah.
Nuts, just nuts. It's insane. So anyway, the Padres, I wish they weren't bad, you know, like I kind of want the Padres to put it together.
Yeah, I guess to an extent.
Gary Sanchez was a Met this year?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
He was a Met.
Wow, Gary Sanchez Mets Twins is going to be a killer immaculate grid square.
Oh my gosh, is it ever?
We gotta. Speaking of which, we gotta start. I keep meaning to like start making immaculate grid TikTok content, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But we'll see. but yeah, I mean, the Padres, they had a winning season last year, and they finished second in the NL West.
Yep.
Otherwise, since signing Machado,
they've not been.
2020, they had the shortened season. They finished second in the West with 37 wins. Those are the two
playoff seasons.
Two playoff seasons they've had since signing Machado.
That's it.
That's bonkers, dude.
It's wild to me.
And Tatis, I mean, like Tatis came up in 2019 as well. Like they signed Machado and called up Tatis in the same year. And since then, they've had two, not even just two playoff seasons, two seasons with winning records.
Yep.
What are we doing? what are they doing in San Diego?
Man, you know? I don't know.
Machado and Tatis last year put up a combined 11.6 WAR, plus Cronenworth with 4.8, like, and Musgrove. Like they also have other good players. And they finished 79-83.
Yep.
And their Pythagorean was 83-79. It's not like they like underplayed by a ton. They underplayed by like a couple of games. Like,
yeah.
They're just in 2021. Last year it was 89-73. But yeah, and they overplayed their Pythagorean by a couple. But like, and like this year they're underplaying by quite a bit. Their Pythagorean is 71-59, and they're 61-69. Like they are, they've scored 583 runs and allowed 526. They just can't put it together at the right spots. And they also traded for 43-year-old Rich Hill.
Yeah, they did do that, didn't they?
I don't know.
What a team.
I don't know what.
They are a team.
Is AJ Preller, like, should he keep his job?
He's probably going to.
There's no way he should be keeping that job. Like, he made the signings, and then, like, Ha-Sung Kim has a 6.2 WAR this year.
Yeah.
Their whole infield, I mean, Cronenworth has not been good, but, like, they have Kim, Bogaerts, Machado, and then, like, Tatis playing right field because their infield is too packed. It just doesn't make sense. Even Gary Sanchez has been a positive asset this year. Like, what is
it's wild.
Are they cursed?
I think the Let's Go Goose thing cursed them.
Like the pitching too. Like, you know, Darvish has been not good, but like Blake Snell has been good, Waka has been good, Seth Lugo has been fine. Like Josh Hader has a 0.81 ERA. I'm looking every single name I look at on this list who that I recognize, and even some that I don't, like, you know, whatever, like are like just names. They're all good.
Yeah.
Like Josh Hader has been an elite closer this year.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? I don't know. Josh Hader has a sub-1 ERA in 47 games, like in 44 innings. Nick Martinez has a 3.94 ERA. Like, it's fine, but like, it's pretty decent in 89 innings, like with six starts, like, you know, as like a swingman guy. Like, every piece of, there's so much less than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, it's baffling to me.
What a weird team, man. I mean, like, you know, like, it doesn't help that their DH situation has been like Matt Carpenter and Nelson Cruz, which is abysmal, but like,
right,
you know, the rest of the lineup kind of should be making up for that kind of thing. You know,
you would think
Bogarts and Machado and Soto and Tatis and Kim and Grisham and like Sanchez, like, anyway, speaking of the Nationals, Steven Strasburg announced his retirement this week. You know,
yeah, this bums me out. Like, he's on a rival team, but man, was he fun to watch pitch.
It's like, it's one of those things where we kind of saw it coming, you know. He's pitched 29 innings in the last 3 years, none this year. You know, after having like, finally putting together the Strasburg season in 2019, winning a ring, and that's it, right? Like, kind of goes out with a small whimper after the bang, you know, a couple seasons of whimper, but like, he did it, you know, he put together the season. He put together the Strasburg season.
Yeah.
And then
it just all fell apart. The injuries got him.
It was age 35, which is around where pitchers, you know, around where players tend to start retiring anyway. So it's not like, you know, it's just never happened.
It's a big what if. Like, yeah. What if this guy was healthy his whole career?
One of the biggest what ifs of our baseball watching lifetimes.
Felt like he was on a Hall of Fame track to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they thought in 2012, right? Like,
yep.
That's why they shut him down and didn't, you know, and lost in the playoff because of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, just a sad end to a promising career that, you know, I mean, the promise, we saw the flashes of brilliance, right? A couple of Cy Young votes across a couple of seasons, a few All-Star selections. Yep. A World Series ring, like, then, you know, he was the guy, but 3 years left on his contract. The Nationals are on the hook for all of it. So, you know, but that's the end of Steven Strasburg's career. That's all you can say is what a shame, I guess.
I won't miss watching him shut out the Phillies, but I will miss watching him pitch.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I can say for that.
All right, let's move on to some exciting news. The Seattle Mariners. So we talked a little bit last week about what changes might be happening in the playoff standings. And among those, we did mention the possibility of the Mariners.
We joked about it. We joked about them jumping to first place.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a joke,
you know, but like, it was... man, it'd be cool if it happened.
Yeah, and guess
here
what?
We are.
Yeah, here we are. The Mariners in first place, in sole possession of first place.
Yep.
There was a half a game difference, and then now finally, as of today's games, the Mariners are a full game ahead of the Rangers, who are in a virtual tie with the Astros. They are one win behind the Astros, but one loss ahead of the Astros. But the Mariners are 74 and 56. So two losses ahead of the Astros, same number of wins, but one win and one loss ahead of the Rangers. I mean, you know, I think unless you're a fan of another AL West team, you kind of want the Mariners to win the AL West.
Oh, 100%. And like, man, like, if this keeps going, the final week of the season is going to be wild, because the Mariners play 3 in Texas and then are home for 3 versus the Astros and 3 versus the Rangers to close the season out.
Yeah. Wow.
That's going to be an insane finish.
Some fun baseball
season
to watch. Yeah,
it's going to be great.
And then what we said, I mean, what we said at the beginning of the week was, it wasn't, that's the thing, is it wasn't super out of the realm of possibility, because the Mariners this week played the White Sox and the Royals, right? And they won 2 or 3 against the White Sox, and they swept the Royals, you know, like,
yeah.
Kind of what they should have been doing, right? And they got, and their next week is 3 against Oakland, and then 3 in New York against the Mets. Yeah. So they've got a pretty soft 2 weeks here, which is good for them, right? To build momentum against these other two teams, which are, you know, potentially better on paper, but like the Mariners, this is, you know, 3 seasons in a row that they have been showing this promise, and now are finally maybe putting this kind of stuff together. The Astros, by the way, split 4 against, so 2-2 against the Red Sox. Yep. And they, was it 2 of 3 from the Tigers?
Yeah,
they took 2 of 3 from the Tigers. They blew the Tigers out today, 17-4. So, like, you know, and I don't have the Rangers up, but, you know, I think the Rangers also had a bit of a tougher week this week. Than the Mariners did, but not taking anything away from the Mariners. That's you know, when you're a good team, you should be beating bad teams, and that's the thing. So yeah, so the Rangers had 2 against the Diamondbacks that they lost both of, and then 4 against the Twins, and they lost the first 2. They lost 3 of 4 against the Twins. So the Rangers had a bad week. The Astros had an okay week, and the Mariners had a great week.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks are a pretty solid team, and the Twins are a pretty solid team. But like, you know, if you are a playoff team, you should be beating teams like this, right? The Twins are a playoff team because they're in the AL Central,
right?
You know, like these should have sort of been, you know, at least a couple of these should have been easy wins for Texas. So like, that's not great and promising for Texas, who have now lost 3, 7, 9 of their last. Oh, they lost 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They've been on a horrid losing streak.
They lost 8 in a row, and then they just won 1 against Minnesota and then lost 1. So they lost 9 of their last 10, including 8 in a row, which is a terrible stretch to be on, especially when the Mariners, as we said, are surging. The Mariners won 8 in a row. 11 of their last 12. So like, quite opposite places to be in. You know, good for Seattle, and we're rooting for Seattle all the way. And like, and you know, like I said, 2 straight seasons of 90-72 finishes, second in the AL West, you know, wild card. Actually in 2021, I think they didn't even get to the wild card.
No, they didn't. They were close.
They were just outside. They would have been the third wild card if there was a third wild card. They were right behind. Oh no, they wouldn't have been, actually, because they were still a game behind the Blue Jays.
Yep.
So they would have been the fourth. That was a crazy crazy finish that year. They would have been in fourth place for the wild card finishers. But last year they wild card series, beat the Blue Jays, and then lost 3-0 to the Astros in the division series. So you know, they come into this season, into this playoffs, with a potentially a first place finish in the AL West. Could be quite different. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Another piece of AL West news. I believe we mentioned last week that the A's were still not mathematically eliminated. They are now. Not a shocker.
No, we all saw it coming. You know, we all saw it coming. So.
Yep.
Rip the Oakland Athletics.
Yep. Quite literally rip the Oakland Athletics. But not just yet rip the actual team, but certainly rip the 2023 season for them. I did see a quick news hit this week about the mayor of Oakland essentially saying, like, because the team does not have a home after next year. And they have not built a park yet. And I think the idea is the park will open in like 2026 or 2027. So they need a home for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a lease at Oakland Coliseum, And so, like, they're talking about, like, maybe they re-sign Elisa Doolin Coliseum for 3 years. Maybe they play at the Las Vegas Aviators Park. And I think there's one other option. And so, essentially, the Oakland mayor has basically said, if the A's want to stay at Oakland Coliseum for 3 more years, they have to sign a contract essentially saying the A's name stays with Oakland, and if MLB expands, they have to expand to Oakland. So, you know, there's a glimmer of hope, maybe.
I think it's fair.
Certainly not for this version of the Oakland Athletics staying in Oakland.
Right.
But like a Hornets or a Supersonics situation, again, taking it back to the NBA, where the Supersonics name stays in Seattle, the Supersonics history has stayed in Seattle, and, you know, Seattle is likely to get the next expansion team. Similarly, in Charlotte, when the Hornets left Charlotte, the Bobcats came and shared the history, and officially now what the NBA says is that the New Orleans team is an expansion team, mm-hmm. And the Charlotte team ceased operations for 2 years or whatever. Even though they, you know, and then they changed names to Bobcats and changed back to Hornets, whereas the New Orleans team was founded as Hornets, blah, 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 whatever weird stuff. So a situation like that where, you know, the Vegas team is treated as an expansion team and the Oakland, you know, or the Philadelphia, Kansas City, Oakland Athletics ceased operations for 3 years, right, when MLB decides to expand to Oakland and Montreal now. Like, is that the assumption? We'll see. But so that's a glimmer of hope for Oakland fans is, you know, maybe something like that happens, because like they're talking about like, hey, we agreed on Howard Terminal, like the A's screwed us on this, like the Oakland mayor is talking to Manfred like, we got screwed out of this, we were ready to do it, Oakland acted in bad faith, if you want to move to Vegas, move into Vegas, but we're ready to build this for an expansion team if you want to do that too. Like, so something could happen. Baseball in Oakland is not dead yet.
Not completely.
There's still signs of life in Oakland. So that just a quick update there. Real quick, the Rockies elimination number is 3. They are the next team out. The Mets elimination number is 8, and the Royals elimination number is 6. So those are the next 3 teams to likely be eliminated. The Rockies elimination number of 3 seems likely to happen this week.
Yeah, I think so.
And the Royals of 6 may also happen this week, or maybe not. But I think the Rockies this time next week will not be in playoff contention. Despite the fact that the Rockies have 9 fewer losses than the Royals, the Dodgers also have 12 more wins than the Twins. So that's that. All right, let's look into the week ahead. Like we did last week, we'll probably continue to do this for the next few weeks as the playoffs near, talk about the series to keep an eye on. Pat, there's a lot of Cubs and Brewers in this.
Yeah. So looking at the NL wildcard standings, which I'm going to bring up here currently. So we talked last week about how this was going to be a big week for the Giants and the Cubs. The Phillies took 2 of 3 from the Giants, and then the Giants have, let's see, they won today, but they lost to Atlanta. So they are now a game and a half out of the third wild card spot, which is now occupied by Arizona. And then the Cubs have the second wild card spot, and the Phillies now are 3 up with the top wild card spot. So going into this week,
and the Cubs, by the way, are only half a game ahead of the Diamondbacks for that second wild card spot, and the Giants, as you mentioned, are a game and a half back, tied again in a virtual tie with the Reds, with the Marlins another game and a half back. So the Marlins are 3 games back, and then the Reds and the Giants are a game and a half back each of the Diamondbacks, who are themselves a half a game back of the Cubs. So
yeah.
It's those again, as last week, those 2 spots are a very tight race among 4 teams, plus Miami, who is, you know, just a little bit outside.
Yeah. So this could be a big week, not only for the second wild card spot here, but also the NL Central. So looking at the NL Central here, as it loads for me. So the Cubs are 4 back of Milwaukee, 4 back. And the Reds are 6 back. So the Cubs have a series with the Brewers to start the week. And then the Brewers will play the Phillies to end the week. So that's a big opportunity for the Cubs to make some ground. And the Cubs will also be playing the Reds to end the week as well. So the Reds, you know, if they get a big series win here versus the Cubs, could, you know, potentially knock them down a peg in the wild card standings.
And the Reds, by the way, the Reds who just played the Diamondbacks are playing the Giants next as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's also, you know.
Yeah, I completely missed that one. But, like, it's yeah, it's a big week for the NL wild card.
This is a huge, huge week for the NL wild card. Yeah.
And, like, the Cubs have been pretty hot over their last 10. Diamondbacks have been hot over the last 10. But the Giants have not been. And, you know, the Reds have been. And they're 5-5, so they're playing 500.
Right. And the Giants just played a bunch of playoff teams in a row. They played the Rangers, they played the Rays, they played the Braves, they played the Phillies, and then they played the Braves again.
Yeah.
So the Giants have not had an easy schedule over the last few weeks,
and
Brewers, it has shown in the record.
The Brewers have won 8 in a row.
Yeah.
So that's that first series to begin this week is going to be huge between the Brewers and the Cubs, because we're going to get a chance to really see where the Cubs are at, and also really where the Brewers are at, too. And, you know, especially with the Brewers playing the Phillies as well, you know, it's a good spot to see where both those two teams are at. But, like, the Phillies have been unbelievable this August. They actually broke the franchise record for home runs in August earlier this week. I think the old record was 47, and they crushed that. A lot of good baseball to look forward to this upcoming week.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, if you're looking at Diamondback standings as well, the Diamondbacks have the toughest week. They have 3 against the Dodgers and then 3 against the Orioles.
Yeah.
So that's not great for them.
But
the next week, they've got 3 against the Rockies, which is going to be, you know, not so tough in theory, and then 4 against the Cubs. So depending on what we're looking like, you know, we'll... When we come back to this this preview next week, that those 4 games between the Diamondbacks and the Cubs could be huge or could be vaguely interesting.
Yeah,
we'll see when we get there. But it's certainly you know, they've got a task ahead of them, and you know,
it's gonna be,
I mean, again, like I said, these are the things that make or break. The Marlins, by the way. Did they sweep the Nationals? I think they just swept the Nationals.
No, they did not.
2 of 3?
Yeah.
Sorry, they took 1 of 3 from the Nationals. Yeah. I was looking at it backwards. They took 1 of 3 from the Nationals, which is not a great thing to be doing.
No.
They've got 2 against the Rays and then another 4 in DC against the Nationals. So, you know, they certainly want to turn their fortunes around against the Nationals in DC, and we'll see what happens there. 2 against the Rays is a little tough. I don't know how the Rays have been doing in the last couple of weeks since their whole nightmare scenario situation.
They're 8-2 in their last 10.
So yeah, so that's pretty good. So the Rays, you know, that's basically what we said last week was, like, we're, you know, kind of concerned about how the Rays are going to respond to losing their 2 best players,
right.
For 2 very different reasons. It seems like they're doing okay. You know, they seem to be continuing and trucking along and being the Rays. So maybe they'll make it work.
Yeah. We'll have to see. You know, it's going to be an exciting end of the season, I think.
Yep. There's no AL East,
there's nothing really big in the AL this week. Like, the Seattle's playing. Yeah. Oh, God, who are they playing here? I just had their schedule up too.
I think I just said it.
They're playing,
like, Detroit or something,
3
right?
Against the Mets and 3 against the A's.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, on the following week, they get the Reds and the Rays and see where they're at then. But,
yeah, and Toronto is 2.5 games back of the wild card. I think they were a little bit tighter last week, so I think that's sort of stretching out a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think Toronto's slowly becoming less likely to get in.
Yeah.
They just haven't looked that good.
Yeah.
They haven't really impressed me.
Yeah. And Boston, too. Boston was also right on the cusp, and they're similarly now 4.5 games back. So it's just like, you know, It seems like those AL East teams, which dominated the wild card the last couple of years, are faltering. You know, this is not their year.
Yeah, the AL West year, it seems. And I mean, oh my God, this is so funny. The Yankees at 62-68.
62-68. Like, what?
God, they're going to finish under 500.
The Yankees and the Cardinals are both going to finish under 500 this season for maybe the first time in 100 years. Like,
I can't even think.
Like, there's no, maybe been more recent, but like, it can't have been that much more recent. When's the last time both teams, you know, like, bonkers. What a crazy season this has been.
Yeah. I mean, the Cardinals haven't finished in last place, for 102 years.
Yeah.
So like, I have no idea when the last time those two teams did that.
The Cardinals had finished below 500 recently, but
yeah, but when both finished under 500 at the same time, yeah. I don't think it ever happened.
The Cardinals were not that great in the late 80s, and neither were the Yankees. So maybe it's one of those, but I don't know how to look that up in Stathead. So there's no, I don't know. I'll probably dig into it and figure it out and let Pat know. But if you're listening on the podcast,
I'm looking here to see. I mean, the last time, yeah, it doesn't really say.
I'll tweet it. Go to twitter.com/RainDelayRadio or whatever, x.com/RainDelayRadio. If I figure it out, I'll tweet it there. We have not tweeted from that account since
the election.
since retweeting Hillary Clinton telling Donald Trump to delete his account, which is. I mean, it's a good tweet.
It's a good tweet.
Since the previous iteration of this podcast, or like a previous iteration of a podcast that I did with another friend that was called Podcast for a Rain Delay, we're supposed to start tweeting from that account again. We'll get around to it.
Yeah.
I will tweet from there if we figure out the last time the Yankees and Cardinals both finished.
I'm about to spend my whole night going through 100 years worth of major league standings to figure this out.
It's gotta be a better way, right? There's gotta be. we'll figure it out and get back to you. But until then, Pat, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, as always.
And as always, Rain Delay Radio is produced by Lewis. My name is Naim. I edited this episode. I also hosted it along with Pat. Our theme music was composed by Chuck Lease. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning at 1 a.m. Eastern Time. And we'll talk to you next week.